relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. It is America First, one-on-one, our special opportunity to get to know our friends, our colleagues, our special guests just that little bit better and have a conversation that isn't your usual, oh, explain to me the intricacies of the Afghanistan withdrawal in 3 minutes. That's not what we do here on America First. And this one's really special. And I mean it. Not only is she a regular, a pillar of America First, every week giving us our California updates, she is, of course, also a guest host of America First. We call her our warrior princess, Jennifer Horn. Let me just start, Jennifer Horn, with a very simple question. How much radio, how many hours of radio did you do just today?
Just today, I have done 6.5 hours of radio before sitting down with you.
That's obscene. Nobody works as hard as this lady. Follow her right now on Twitter, at Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show. Follow her, listen to her, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer, also at crntalk.com. Okay, let's start at the beginning. You've been a trooper. You haven't skipped a beat. But let's find out a little bit more about how this lady, this lover of freedom and America, got to be the hardest working radio host in this, the greatest nation in the world. So tell our millions of listeners who may just have accidentally landed on this show or caught this video in their stream, who are you and where did you come from?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Who am I and where did I come from? Well, you know, I was a kid in that kind of was a radio. I always call myself a radio brat because my dad was very involved in the radio business in Los Angeles. He worked for several big stations, including K-Rock and KFI, and was always involved in the radio business. Now, I came along and I was like a very shy kid. Imagine that.
No. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Super duper shy and never really thought I wanted to be in the radio business. But, you know, my parents split up when I was young and my dad started his own company, which also was in the radio business. And so I thought, you know, great way to spend some time with him. And I didn't like to be bored is I would go in and work with him during the summer. So when I was off from school, if this is dating me a little bit, I alphabetized our entire record library. I would...
You mean as a shop assistant said to me, a very young shop assistant, when I mentioned CD, what did she say? I said the album, and she said, "Oh yeah, those big black CDs."
Right, exactly. Thanks. Now they're back in style.
They
now,
are.
Right?
I just bought a tape deck.
I love it. You know, the person who's on that same trajectory with me is Governor Mike Huckabee. I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him. He started in the radio business at 12. He would sweep the studios. He loved music. He's a musician. And so it's very funny. I was doing essentially the same thing, and I would teach myself stuff along the way. So at like 12 years old, I started doing payroll for my dad's company. I taught myself how to do promotions. I would just really kind of learn pieces of the business, but never really had any desire to do the on-air thing. Well, flash forward to the Northridge earthquake in 1994, and I was in high school. My high school got destroyed during that earthquake. It was knocked down, and so they moved us. I went to Catholic school. They moved us across the street to the San Fernando Mission from Alamany High School in Los Angeles, and it was very strange going to school at like a seminary, because this was a seminary at the Mission. I mean, every bathroom was a boys' bathroom. It was pretty crazy. But they brought us in, and we would only go to school from 7 until 11 because they had to stagger classes. And so I was out of school as a junior at like 11 o'clock every day. So I started really working for my dad at that point. And that's when I started experimenting with being on the air. He would have me fill in for some shows. And
Hang on. What age were you filling in on radio? When, like what age were you?
16, 17 years old. So he had me filling in. He's like, you're not, you know, you're not bad. We could, you're pretty good. So every once in a while I would fill in for him. And meanwhile, I started going to college, but I would still work for my dad. I was traveling a lot, doing marketing for our business and really doing stuff way beyond the pay grade of an 18-year-old. But I was doing it and going to college at the same time. And one day, a few years later, someone heard me on the radio doing some fill-in stuff and said, you know, I've got a nationally syndicated morning show and I'd like to try you out. I'm looking for a young female. And so I tried out for a few days. And the rest was history. I started really loving it. I got much more comfortable. I took on the mantra with my shyness, fake it till you make it. And now I feel like I'm just very naturally, well, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but kind of warm. And I try to be as friendly as possible and outgoing, I guess, which I never would have thought. So a complete transition. And I was doing regular talk radio, but not necessarily so much in politics. It was after 9/11 when I think I really got involved with politics specifically. I've always been a Republican from the time I could first vote for Bob Dole in the late 90s. But I really started to get involved, and I started volunteering for the George Bush campaign after the terrorist attack in 9/11.
Her motto is fake it till you make it, and she has definitely made it, absolutely. And that's why our listeners, our viewers, love her so much. Is it true that you were in a radiophonic foursome with Ben Shapiro for a while?
Yeah, so the story kind of continues on. You know, I'm doing this national morning show. That was the first job that I had, and really getting more involved in politics. And kind of met up with our big boss here at Salem Radio by chance at a Christmas party for another radio station at the WABC Christmas party in New York. And
they allow people from Salem to the WABC Christmas party? What's going on?
They did that day.
Was it an intelligence mission? Was it an undercover reconnaissance?
It was. That's what we were doing. We were spies. We were wired for sound. But it was very funny. So I talked to our big boss here at Salem Radio, Phil Boyce, and we had a great conversation. He said, you know, I might be looking for someone. How far away is Glendale from your house in Los Angeles? And so I started filling in a bit. Now, they went into a different direction. They have the show, a three-person show, Alicia Krauss, Ben Shapiro, and Brian Whitman. And unfortunately for the three of them in 2016, none of them liked Trump. And I really kind of, I don't want to say fell in love. It wasn't like a romantic love, but I really saw the appeal of President Trump from that moment that he came down the escalator. I knew he was tapping into something important. He had this message. He was brave enough to talk about immigration, which I hadn't seen anyone in our party do before. And as someone who lives in California, I knew that this immigration problem was not only affecting us, but the entire country. And he talked about it, and he wasn't afraid, and he talked in a language that people could understand. And so I got it, and I would start talking about it on the show that I was hosting at Salem Radio, the Jen and Don Show at the time. That's where we met Seb, when through Don Dix, my partner on that program. And so the program director at the LA station said, you know, you've been doing some fill-in here. Why don't you come in and just temporarily be a fourth person in the room? And so there were four of us on that morning show, and three of them did not like Trump. So it was a battle.
So what was that like? Just describe it. What was that like for you?
Were
you the squeaky wheel?
I get called the smiling assassin a lot by my...
That's good.
Because I can argue, but I also, you know, look, I don't think anything is serious enough to lose friendships over. I believe in human connections. And I think that we can have disagreements, but the only way we move forward as a country and as people is if we can have important conversations and not just speak to an echo chamber. And so I loved those mornings, particularly with Ben Shapiro, who, you know, how, I mean, this guy was fun to debate. He's a genius. And there is still a moment that I get called about to this day. And that was a moment when we were going back and forth. And I said, Ben, your only other opportunity is to vote for Hillary Clinton. Are you going to do that? And he said, yes. And we went to a break.
Wow.
And that was the moment that I still, in that time of 2016, still get people tweeting me about, sending me emails about, because so many of our colleagues in talk radio were not there, Seb. Most of the people on our station were not there with Trump for a while. And the honest ones will come out and say, yeah, I wasn't there. But like our friend Dennis Prager will say, I wasn't there, but I am now. And boy, what a great president President Trump was. But a lot of people weren't there in the beginning. They didn't see the appeal. They didn't see what he could offer. They didn't think he would be effective. And I don't know. I always saw that, and I knew that, and I trusted that about President Trump. And boy, he did not disappoint. So, you know, flash forward a few years, and it was a two-person radio show with me involved. And now here we are today. It's Jen and Grant in the Morning Answer. And we're having a lot of fun. Our ratings have never been better. And I feel blessed every single day to be able to have important conversations that might inspire people to have the same kind of conversations with their friends and neighbors, because that's how we change people's mind. That's how we move forward. And it's really lucky. We're in a great position where people tune in to hear what we think. And that does not get lost on me any day that I wake up and get to go in front of a microphone.
What is it about Phil Boyson hiring radio talent? He did it with you.
He's really good at it.
He did it with you at that party at KABC, and he did it with me at a 75th birthday party for my publisher, standing there by himself looking all awkward. And then he said, "Hey, do you like radio?" Yes. Would you like to do it? Okay, whatever you say, strange man. And he gives me his business card, and it says Vice President of Radio for Salem. And I put it in my pocket, and I guess he wasn't joking. So, Phil, whatever you're doing, it's working. God bless you.
We appreciate it, right?
Well done. Well done, Phil. Well done, Phil. All right, so, Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Jennifer Horn, you are the hardest working person in radio. You are the host of The Morning Answer. You are on AM 590, AM 870, The Answer, also CRN Talk. Let's talk about the métier, the field that we are in. I still consider myself to be an amateur. I've been doing this for 2.5 years, although I've been a consumer of radio since I was about 6 years old. Yep. Where is radio now? It was meant to be dead a few years ago. Rush Limbaugh created this amazing phenomenon. We owe so much to him. Talk to us about how radio, why radio, for example, is the only part of the culture that belongs to conservatives. Hollywood, the media, education is gone. Explain to those who don't get it why it's so powerful.
You know, it's really funny because I can remember this conversation like it was yesterday, and it's been several years now. But you and I were in a car together, and we were going to the Reagan Library, and we were having this conversation. It was right about the time that you were getting ready to start this program, and I was so taken with the visual of you as a little boy listening to that transistor radio, listening to your radio, because people who understand this medium love it. I don't think there is a medium on the planet. It's not social media. It's not television that have that connection.
You're right. You're absolutely. I don't care what it is. Not movies.
No.
Not even podcasts or books on tape or TV or social media. So I can still remember that conversation.
Yeah.
The three of us, one of us with his head between the seats in that discussion. Unpack it for us, because
My answer is that radio is the most vulnerable medium. You cannot be good at this job if you are not willing to tell people who you are And you're going to take some criticism from time to time. You're also going to get a lot of love, but you have to tell people who you are. So it's a very personal, vulnerable medium when it comes to the show host. For the listener, we get to be with the listener in their car, in their quiet moments, when they're going back and forth to work, when they're at their homes. We're with people. We're that voice that is with people, that wakes them up in the morning, that drives with them home from work. We're a medium that is always there. And it's one that's accessible. If you think that someone is full of it, or if you want to call in and go, yes, I've been waiting to hear someone say this, you can call and communicate in real time with the people that you're listening to. So of all the mediums, I think it's the most accessible, and it's the one that is the most vulnerable, both for the listener and for the host. Because think about it. I mean, I always think about my grandpa, the great Bunky Horn, would sit in front of Larry King and Charlie Rose at night, and he'd want to, like, he'd be screaming stuff back at the television. They could never hear him. But breaking news,
he tried
to scream loud enough, but they could never hear him. But in this business, in radio, specifically spoken word and conservative talk radio, we have that. We've created, like, this virtual neighborhood where everybody can communicate and stay connected. And that makes it powerful. So for all those people who say that radio is dead, just wait, because with every news cycle, I live in California. Most people know that when I come here on your show, Seb, I do the California Report. But right now, our ratings in talk radio are ticking upwards in California because of the recall election of Gavin Newsom. People want to talk about this stuff. When Los Angeles says that you can't go visit your loved ones in the hospital unless you're vaccinated, people want to call in and talk to someone. What can we do? How can we mobilize? How can we fight back? You don't get that from TV. You don't get that from the movies. And certainly you're not getting that from the internet right now.
No, no. So it's only going to get better?
Well, I'm an optimist. I think that it is. A lot of people are saying that radio is dying because there are new technologies. They're not putting radios in cars. But, you know, we have these magic devices in our homes now, right? The new radio is Alexa. The new radio is your Google Home device. So as long as radio is willing to adapt to the technology, I don't think it goes away. It might look a little different, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Talk to us about being a radio host in California. Your colleague Don Dix opened my eyes to how there are still so many good patriots in California. Yeah. I came out to the Inland Empire. You were gracious enough to ask me to speak in an event, and I met really good people who care. So what's it like for you being avowedly a conservative for 6.5 hours every single day? What's that like in California?
It can be hard. And, you know, I don't ever like to play the gender card, but to be a female conservative on the radio in California, there aren't many of us. And, you know, a lot of people like to marginalize conservatives in general, but marginalize female conservatives and say, oh, you're just doing what your husband tells you to do, or you poor thing, you must be misguided, or you're just one of those Bible thumpers. You know, you get the whole gamut of things, because women could not come to terms with the idea that there are female conservatives out there. But I think if you speak your truth and you speak in a way that is strong but still respectful, I think you can get really far in this market, because it's about exchanging ideas. And the truth is, the dirty little secret is that, and we talked about it actually just recently, there are millions of people who voted for President Trump in this state.
Six million
people voted for Trump in this state, more than in any other state because of our population size. And really, what kind of disturbs me is when it comes to, like, the recall that we're going through with Gavin Newsom right now, this was run not only by Republicans, but by Democrats and independents who are just tired of these far left policies. So the dirty secret of California is that there are people out there who want to talk that may not even consider themselves to be Republicans or conservatives, but are so tired of the mix. They have found their way into the audience that I have. I'm lucky enough to have in Los Angeles. But there are the voter suppression that happens, I think, in the state is this lie, the secret, that there are more conservatives here than anybody wants to let on. They tell you that there is no chance for a conservative to win office or statewide office in California because they want you to think that there's no chance. So there's a narrative that it is hard to be a conservative in California. But when you really get to dig in and you get to spend mornings, you know, 6 to 9 a.m. with these people, you realize that they're there and that they're ready. They want to be talked to. it's really the function of the left to send out this narrative that conservatives don't exist in California because they want you to feel hopeless so that you don't turn out to vote. This is what happened with the Christian vote who did not turn out in 2020, that did not turn out in 2018 because they felt that there was no shot, that it was a system that was flawed. And while I agree that it is, and I agree that there were some big problems in the 2020 election, in the 2018 election here in California, we can't stop trying. We can't stop fighting. We have to turn out each and every time.
Yeah, there is voter suppression in America, but it has nothing to do with ethnic minorities. It's the mainstream legacy lying media trying to convince conservatives everywhere. Don't bother. It's in the can. Democrats have got it. This state, that state, California, Massachusetts, you're done. Stay at home, and you are facing an uphill battle you cannot win. That's the only voter suppression we have.
That's right.
It might be a cliche when you say you are what you eat, but it is absolutely true. Eating the right food ensures your body gets the nutrients it needs to maintain your health. And that includes, whether you like it or not, guys, I'm sorry, fruits and vegetables. If you're not a big fan, and most of us guys aren't, you still need to eat them. Do what I do. Dr. Douglas Howard's Balance of Nature is a game changer. Just vegetables, just fruit, freeze-dried into 6 little capsules. 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables that provide you 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables your body needs and craves. Be the healthiest you can be. Dr. Howard's going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. If you're worried about your health, just do this for your wife, for your mother, for your children, for your grandchildren. 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. Promo code Gorka. What is that new sound thing we've got? Can you play it for me, please, Shad?
Wonka, wonka, wonka.
I love it. The wonka, wonka, wonka. We're going to drop it regularly. It's from our chat yesterday with Jennifer Horn, and we're going to use it here on this and so many other things. Okay, I'm going to get liberal on you. Can I be a fake Democrat? I'm going to do intersectionality.
I'm
going to do identity politics.
Okay.
You are a woman.
Last time I checked.
Oh. You are a white woman.
Yes, last time I checked.
Okay. So, you've mentioned my old boss, DJT, as we call him in-house. Mm-hmm. Talk to us as a conservative fighting for conservative values in California. The future of Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, and that mythical thing about him and white suburban women.
I don't buy it. You know.
Yes! Go ahead.
I just have a hard time buying it. I don't vote for someone based on necessarily if they are going to sound flowery and lovely. Look, we had a great order in Barack Obama. Like, the one thing I can say that was nice about him is that he gave a nice speech. Sometimes it was so nice you didn't even know what he was saying. And that was probably by design.
Right.
But I need someone who is going to get something done, who is not going to be afraid to back away from the issues, who's going to get in there and shake things up. And the reason, as a white woman, as an intersectional white woman, that I voted for Donald Trump is that he was talking about things that nobody in Washington would ever talk about. He had a backbone, and I could see it. And I have seen our country starting to slip away, and I love it. This is why I do what I do every day. And I know, Seb, it's why you do what you do every day. I love this country, and it scares me, the path that we're on, how we've started to really lose truth. There used to be Republicans and Democrats, but we could always agree on one key set of facts of truth, and we would just have disagreements on how to fix problems or on how to approach these things. That doesn't exist anymore. The left has completely eliminated truth, even in science. We can't even rely on that anymore. So that is gone, and that's done by design because they want to create chaos on the left to start a brand new country over again, much more in the light of a socialist or communist country. President Trump knew that. I could see his patriotism. I could see that he was doing this for the right reasons because he loved this country. I don't care if he sent out a mean tweet every once in a while. I don't care that he said something that that made me go, really? In fact, I kind of laughed it off because at the end of the day, he was doing things, he was getting things done, and he was working for the people. What billionaire have you ever seen that connected with the middle class in this country so strongly? President Trump had that. So when we talk about his political future, I can't tell you 100% that I think he's going to run again, but I pray every single night that he will, because I really believe that he is one of the only people that can save us. And the left knew it. That's why they tried to take him down at every turn. That's why they lied to people to try to tell us that they had seen the evidence of Russian collusion. They lied about all of that. And many times, much of the storylines that they threw at him were stuff that the left was doing behind the guise of the media protection that they got, right? And so we see President Trump, who has told us a lot of stories. He said some crazy things, but they always end up being true. And I don't know. It scares me that our bench is so light on the Republican side. This week, and I know you talked about it on your show, I almost went apoplectic when you see that Mitch McConnell and 19 Republicans voted to pass infrastructure when they wouldn't do the same thing when President Trump introduced it. And Mitch McConnell's excuse, he said this was all strategy because he wanted to pass infrastructure so that the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill wouldn't go through. That's not strategy. That's like Nancy Pelosi saying she's going to pass the Health Care Act and then read what's in it. We need fighters in Washington, D.C. We need people in this party that have our best interests at heart, that are not just worried about their political longevity. CNN, and you know, a lot of times in talk radio, and I get excited about this, because a lot of times people say when we are speaking truth here on the radio, that they are just right-wing talking points. And I have been told many times that's just a right-wing talking point.
Right. 6,000 illegal aliens crossing the border every day.
Not true.
Right-wing talking point.
Right-wing, right.
Hydroxychloroquine, good for people with the COVID-19 Wuhan flu. Conservative talking point.
Right. That's it. Exactly. You can't even look at the facts anymore. And one of the right-wing talking points, I'll use air quotes here, from this week, is that this reconciliation bill is the pathway to socialism. Well, guess what? It is. And it's not a right-wing talking point when the headline on CNN's website was Senate passes framework for America's transformation. Now, what are they transforming to? We have a country that needs to be improved every single day. Are we perfect? No. But are we as close to perfect as any other country on the planet? Absolutely. And what Democrats have set up and Republicans have allowed is the pathway now, the framework to be laid out for socialism. And there is no turning back once we go down this road. And I know not one Republican voted for that, Seb, but they didn't stand up and fight loud enough. We need to know at every turn what's going on here. And one of the only people who I think has that voice loud enough to say this is not for our country is President Trump. We miss him. We need him back on the scene.
We do indeed. Follow this lady at Jennifer Horn, the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant, AM 870. Jennifer, how is that chappy working out, Grant Stinchfield, your new morning co-host? Is he? Have you broken him in yet?
I've been trying to break him. You know, he's tough. He came to me without training, so we. We've been working through it now. We've been having a great time on the morning show. It's a whole different thing. You know, we used to have I was the Republican. We had a Democrat in that position, and that was fun, a point and counterpoint show. Grant and I agree on a lot, but there are still moments when we find our disagreement.
Oh,
we
have that, over what? That, give me an example.
Well, he was for, what was one of them? Filibuster. He thought we should have blown it up. I don't think that we should have. I mean, I know this is war, but we have to fight now to protect the filibuster. I think that matters. There are certain things that we find a little disagreement on. He wants all the police to walk off the job in the country. And I say, wait a second. We can't do that. We need law and order.
Well, you know,
we
if you've got guns and ammo at home like I have, it'll be a very important lesson in the importance of the police.
I have some ammo and a gun or two at home, too. But still, you know, I'd like to have a little bit of law and order left over. So there's these little moments where we'll have some fun disagreement. But all in all, we have a really great time. And of course, there's always that different perspective on things from a male and female perspective. You know, every once in a while he gets a little alpha on me, so I have to go, wait a second.
Well, look, he is a trucker. He does own, what is it, like a dozen 18-wheelers. So he's a man's man.
Former he is a man's man, which I appreciate.
TV host. I mean, it's got to be fun. Got to be fun.
Yeah, we don't want any, like, weenies, so it's good.
No, Alexander Vindman's here, thank you. No, need not apply.
Okay. But I have to thank you. What people don't realize is that you introduced me to Grant. So
what do you mean? I got him hired.
You got him hired. World. I know. That's what I wanted to tell him, is that you really pushed it. You didn't even push him. You said, hey, talk to this guy. And it worked out. We had instant chemistry, and it's been fantastic.
Well, he had a drive time show, I think. Where was it? Chicago or somewhere?
Dallas, I think, wasn't it?
And he was great. And then he got on NRA TV. Now he has his daily show on Newsmax. And then I thought, hey, you got to have somebody on your show to co-host. Let's try Grant out. And it worked out.
Great.
And it's fabulous. Okay, let's go back to you. Enough of him. Let's go back to you. Where do you get your value? Oh, first things first, what was your grandfather's name?
Well, my grandfather was Charles, but we used to call him Bunky.
Bunky Horn. Is that really? Yeah. Bunky Horn. Okay. I thought that was a character from, you know,
because he was full
sitcom.
Of bunk. And then his wife, who is my grandma, you would have loved her. Very Eastern European style, probably would have reminded
you're
you.
You're stealing my thunder. Mm-hmm. So where do your values come from? How much are your commitment to things that are the absolute opposite of this? This is, of course, the latest. The former Californian governor had this to say just recently.
Screw your freedom.
So that's Arnold Schwarzenegger who's saying to Americans,
screw your freedom.
You don't believe about your freedom that should be something that's screwed. Where do your values come from, and how much are they a function of your family background?
I think a lot of it is a function of my family background. My grandparents, and we have talked about this too, we share a similar history. Mine not quite as dramatic as the history that your dad and your mom lived through, Seb. But my grandparents were immigrants from Czechoslovakia. Well, their parents were. Actually, they were born here. But I really think that you get an appreciation when you are so new to this country, even if your family line is a few generations down. There's an appreciation for America that I think really is taught, and it was taught by my grandparents, generation to generation. The appreciation of freedom, but with freedom comes personal responsibility, which has been the thing in my life that has been drilled into my head. You work hard. My grandfather was born deaf. Almost completely deaf, but very hard of hearing.
Wow.
So my loud voice is because of Bunky and trying to communicate with him, because we'd always have to talk very clearly and concisely to him so he could hear us. And he was told that he was stupid. And he was told that they didn't know he was deaf. They just thought that he couldn't hear they just thought that he wasn't catching the lessons in school. And it took my grandmother to come along to say, wait a second, you can't hear anything. And so my grandfather was one of the smartest people that I know that was really, not to use his word again, but he was marginalized even by his parents because they just didn't understand that he had this disability. And so he overcame so much. He provided for my grandmother, my dad, and my uncle. He set up a life for them. They moved to California because that was the land of opportunity. They left Chicago and they thought California was the place, built a house. And so I've always taught hard work, commitment, loyalty, and pride to your country. Now, my mom has a much different path. She came from and my grandparents, by the way, were Kennedy Democrats.
Wow.
They were not Republicans. My dad, when
he married
my mom. Yeah,
but Kennedy wouldn't be allowed in the Democrat Party today.
No way. The days of Kennedy Democrats are gone. There are no moderate Democrats left anymore. They are all socialists. And if they don't tell you that, they're lying to you, because it's truly where the party is now. It's not even headed in that direction. This whole $3.5 trillion, that's an embrace of the socialist policy. So the Democrat Party today is a party of socialists. My mom is a member of that party. She came from a strictly conservative family. My grandparents on her side from North Carolina, very conservative principles. That's where a lot of my base, I think, in conservatism came from. But when my parents got married, they switched roles. My mom was a Republican, became a Democrat. My dad was a Democrat, became a Republican. And so I was always gone. I was always going between them, because obviously they were both trying to influence me a bit. But I understood the value of personal liberties and freedoms, of the conservative values about not letting the government interfere, about taking control of your own destiny, about doing better than your parents did. That was really and really pushed, I think, into my life, into my head, and into my heart by my dad's side of the family. And so even though they started out as Democrats, they ended up voting Republicans. And that's kind of, I think, where my principles came from. Less government, more freedom. And that's the atrocity that's being committed right now. Right? It's very possible that as an unvaccinated person, I will not be able to do anything in the city that I live in a couple of weeks. The city council and the board of supervisors are looking to create these vaccine mandates. We're putting masks on our children. We're not letting anybody decide what's appropriate for them. We are not even talking about antibodies and natural immunity, both for the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. So I really can't think that we are serious about doing anything but controlling people at this point. It's not about keeping people well. It's about taking away people's personal freedoms, and that is to drive conservative principles out of America.
But you remain an optimist at heart, Jennifer Horn.
100%. I believe in the spirit of the American people, and I've seen it here in my own state of California. I saw the fight that my grandparents had in coming here and starting a life for themselves with their parents. I see the fight of people in California who were written off by most of the country saying, well, that's just crazy California. Who cares what they do? Well, we're fighting back. We're recalling not only Gavin Newsom, but members of local city councils, DA's offices. We are fighting because people, when they get pushed to the brink, they are still American down there deep, no matter how much they try to take it from us. And I believe in our spirit. I believe in our country. I believe that we can push back, but we have to take the initiative and we can't get complacent anymore. Now is the time.
All right. So here's the big question for Jennifer Horn. Can we take back California?
You know, it's possible.
Because I have to say, you know, I've admitted this on the show without you listening.
I'm always listening.
Oh, there you go. She's always listening. Like Jeff, she's always listening.
Always listening.
I used to make fun of California.
I know.
I used to call it the People's Republic. And it's only because of you, your colleague Don, and because of the people you introduced me to when I came there, what was it, 2-3 years ago, that I said, you know what? Something's happening here. And there's still some good people who want to fight. So I stopped using that phrase because of thanks to what you did to open my eyes. So how good can it be? Can we take it back?
I think the answer is yes. I think it is going to be hard. I don't think that California is ever going to be maybe a Republican majority state, at least in the foreseeable future, but There's so many glimmers of hope that when we say take it back, if we can get better than we are today, we're going to be creating a win. And what's really great about what's happening in our state is that it sends a narrative across the country. Gavin Newsom has been saying, if you recall me, you're going to put Democrats in a bad position in 2024. And you're going to put a bad position. You're going to put him in a bad position in 2022. And you know what? He's right. This is why I've been so supportive of the recall. I don't care who replaces him. I want to see the recall because it's going to say that in California, when you push these socialist policies, we fight back. We're the petri dish of the nation to float these policies, to develop them. Joe Biden rolls them out. And this recall creates a really hard thing to explain to Democrats across the country if we're able to pull this off. Even just the process of having the recall is already bad PR for them. But you're seeing glimmers of hope there. You're seeing school districts now fighting off critical race theory. Paso Robles was the most recent in Central California. They outlawed critical race theory. It is a slow process, but people are waking up. Parents are waking up because they pushed kids to go back home for school for a year, and now parents are awake to the curriculum of the kids, and they are pushing back in school districts across the state. They are pushing back in local offices. They are doing these recalls for the DA. So do I see glimmers of hope? Yes. Do I think it's going to be, you know, we're going to be run by Republicans by next year? No. But I do think incrementally we can start to take back the state. And that starts in local government. It starts with the school districts. And I'm really encouraged by the fight that I'm seeing amongst California parents. And it's not just Republicans. It is independents and Democrats who are just sane thinkers in the state who are pulling and pushing back finally. The boomerang went too far.
Well, let me ask the impolitic question. what about the GOP? The left's going to do what the left's going to do. We have to fight them. But right now isn't the biggest obstacle the get along, go along to get along, don't really want to change anything, swamp creatures who have the letter R behind their name.
I told you this about a year ago. I think that they're going to slowly get voted out. I really do feel that people know. President Trump, whether you love him or hate him, he woke people up to a lot of stuff. He woke people up to a lot of problems, things that the Democrats never had to explain before. The left, I don't even want to say Democrats anymore, but the left never had to explain. They were just running rampant in schools, in local governments, at the city council level. President Trump woke us up. And so we're fighting back in California, but I do believe that these go-along Republicans, like, you know, we can start naming them, but the Liz Cheneys of the world,
Adam Kinzingers. Well, it's worse than that. It's the Mitch McConnells.
The Mitch McConnells. I do think at some point they're either going to age out or they are going to be replaced slowly but surely. And, you know, we need stronger candidates. We need people who are a little bit younger, who are maybe not in politics and don't want to do it forever, that are business people, that will get involved and go out there and run, because that is the heart and soul of the party that we want to create. The Republican Party isn't what we want it to be right now. We know that. But I think it can be rebuilt if we take conservative principles, if we get good, strong people who can go out there and fight and who are not in it to be Mitch McConnell and just live in Washington, D.C. his whole life.
Yeah. All right. Last important question that I often ask our guests here. What is your message to those who consider themselves to be conservatives, but who have allowed themselves to be intimidated and are censoring themselves and not speaking out on the values that they say they hold?
I get it. I totally get it. But the time to be shy is over. I mean, it's just over. I mean, maybe we started with fake it till you make it. You have to not be afraid to have the conversations. And I get it in California. I have had friends who have been followed and harassed in a supermarket. I have had friends who have had their cars, their paint, you know, their cars keyed, their paint scratched by people who have seen them wearing Trump hats. I understand that the left can be mean, they can be intimidating, and they can try to hit you where you are, because that's what they've been told to do by the leadership of their party, the Maxine Waters of the world. But we have to speak out. You don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to be confrontational. But please tell people who you are and why you think the way you do. Because if you can go out there and in a friendly, happy warrior kind of way, explain yourself to your friends and your neighbors, you might change their mind. And I still believe that it is not up to the party. It's not up to any elected official. It's not up to President Trump. It is up to us, one person at a time. We have to talk to people in our churches, at our kids' schools, in the grocery store. And again, it doesn't have to be confrontational, but you have to tell people why you think the way you do. Explain it to them. Because so oftentimes it is we like broad things, right? We like black or white. We like team sports. And you're either one way or you're not. If you can take away the labels and talk to people about critical race theory, talk to people about school curriculum, talk to people about crime, find that commonality and tell people why you believe you the way you do, why you follow your conservative principles, you will make change. And that is what saves the country. Forget the party. That's what saves the party. And that is the best thing we can do to combat the left.
Beautiful closing words. It's not about a party. It's about a nation. It's about the greatest nation on God's earth. If you've enjoyed this discussion, check out our podcast. Subscribe today. Share this video with your friends. And remember, as ever, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you're listening to this show, if you love this country, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty. Thank you, Jennifer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.